Good evening. I call the March 25th regular meeting of the Board of Directors to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now have a roll call of the Board of Directors.
Director Trevino? Director Chavez?
Present.
Director Santana?
Present.
Vice President Fellow?
Present.
President Garcia?
Present. Quorum is present. The next item is adoption of an agenda. Are there any changes?
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Did I do that?
What?
I know, in private, really sorry. we'll now open public comment. Vanessa, do we have any public comments?
Good afternoon, Madam President. We have not received any written public comments prior to this meeting. However, if anyone wishes to speak now, they may do so at the podium.
Okay, seeing none, public comment is now closed. Moving on to committee reports, they're included in this packet. Would any director like to add to these reports? Okay, so the next item on the agenda is consent calendar. Would any director like to pull any item off the consent calendar? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Moving on to action items. Item 8A is our state bill summaries and positions. Patty?
Thank you, Madam President. Here's a quick presentation so I can briefly go over the bill positions for your consideration. So the first one in your packet is AB 35 by Assemblymember Alvarez. It's related to the Safe Drinking Water Wildfire Prevention bond measure. What this bill would do, it would provide an administrative procedure and exemption for the three recent climate bonds, such as Prop 4. This exemption would allow state agencies to deliver funding for critical infrastructure and investments and to maximize the impact of bond funds. This bill is supported by Metropolitan, Aqua, and the Southern California Water Coalition, so staff is recommending a support. The next bill is AB 1894 by Assemblymember Rubio pertaining to the Fish and Wildlife Code, invasive mussels. The full bill language is before you. This is the sponsored bill by Upper Water, in addition to San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District and the City of Burbank. So brief synopsis of what our bill seeks to do is that it would establish the state as exclusive authority to regulate the prevention, control, and management of invasive mussels. It would also prohibit any one local entity from adopting or enforcing their own rules related to invasive mussels, unless explicitly authorized by state law. Allowing the state to have exclusive authority would to regulate mussels and local planning efforts. These agencies can draw on state-led research to identify effective mitigation and treatment technologies, and will also leverage the information to help ensure that local actions protect critical water infrastructure while upholding the human right to water. As you know, this is to effectively try and mitigate the issue that we're having in not being able to receive deliveries of imported water. This is just formalizing our support. Obviously, the agencies behind it, but we want to formalize it. Next slide, please. The next one is AB 2215 by Assemblymember Calderon. It's pertaining to water rights and permits on the state water project. It would extend the timeline for the full development of state water project water permits to the year 2085. Extending the timeline is necessary to modernize the system and make better use of existing state water project facilities in response to climate change. I want to note that the legislation would not approve any future projects like the Delta Conveyance Project or change any existing state water project operations. It is supported by Aqua and Metropolitan Water District, so we are recommending the support.
The next bill is Senate Bill 872 by Senator McNerney, related to the Delta Levees and Canal Subsidence Fund. It would establish a Delta Levy and Canal Subsidence Fund in the State Treasury and would appropriate $300 million annually for the purpose of subsidence repairs to DWR and levy improvements money to the Delta Conservancy. Sorry. It is co-sponsored by the State Water Contractors and Restore the Delta. Staff recommendation is support.
I will note that this bill is
A rare bill in the fact that you have the State Water Contractors and Restore the Delta supporting one bill. The next slide, please, is SB 1001 by Senator Archuleta. It relates to personal identity verification cards for municipal water agencies. It would create a voluntary statewide credentialing framework administered by Cal OES for the identification cards for essential water utility workers to be used during natural disasters, emergency periods. The bill is sponsored by Walnut Valley Water District, Roland Water District, and is supported by this and other smaller agencies near us, but it is supported by the San Gabriel Valley Water Association and AQUA, so we're recommending a support. And then the final bill in your packet is SB 1153 by Senator Caballero. It's related to disaster preparedness, and as it relates to urban water retailers and public water systems. So this bill would require that all public water systems would have, as defined, with 10,000 or more service connections, to review and revise their disaster preparedness plan in conjunction with related agencies. The bill aims to provide to improve public safety while providing an opportunity for water agencies to secure wildfire liability protections in statute. It also has language in there that water agencies are not designed to provide consistent wildfire,
firefighting capabilities.
Thank you. Provide firefighting capabilities. That is not what water systems were created to do. This bill went through a lot of iterations. It went through the AQUA Wildfire Working Group, so therefore it is sponsored by the association, and we are seeking a support. And that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer questions.
All right, thank you, Patty. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Patty, where is this bill, SB 872, which is a good bill, McHenry, where is he from?
McNerney?
Yeah. Is he from north or south?
I believe he's from northern, like, not total north, but like in the Delta community.
Well, that's good. To have Archuleta and Arbidian be co-sponsored, that's very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had a couple questions. Thank you. So since we discussed that one, SB 872, so it is strange that you have both of these, the State Water Congress and the Florida Delta, co-sponsoring this. So what's the story there? Why are they both on board with this?
So it's been a long-standing action between the two agencies to find funding that would help restore some of the levees due to subsidence, but then also provide levee improvements that the Delta Conservancy wants to do. So I just got an update on this bill this morning. Initially, they were seeking to have this money come out of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. I think they're looking to change that so it's a straight appropriation from the state budget. I just think it's a nice thing that they're actually working together because they're seeking funding for similar things and environmental protection in the Delta. So it is surprising, but it's actually a good sign that hopefully they're willing to work together on issues.
So the subsidence is going to help. It's levy improvements and then DWR for subsidence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both on board with each other's projects. That's interesting. And then I wanted to ask about the Blanca Rubio Assembly Bill 1894. This is wonderful. This is, great. Thank you for moving forward with this so that we can resolve some of our issues that we're having with, we know what issues we're having. So my question is, does this have any, have we thought about any implications that this could have on other agencies that might be negative? And has there been any discussion on that?
Yes, so initially the bill, as it was introduced, is a little broad. As you read through the bill, you note that we didn't call out a specific region or entity, and that was done by design.
It was what the author wanted to do. I've had several conversations from
aqua agencies up north, specifically reservoir operators, that want to preserve their local control to be able to not allow boaters on their reservoirs and to close down their reservoirs. And so there is concern that the language is broad because it would take away their ability to do that. So I've been working with the author's office, talking with Terry also up at Aaron Reed. There is language that we will be proposing as this goes to committee, that it'll narrow the scope of the bill to focus more on the delivery of imported water. So we'll have to fine-tune that language a little bit so that it really speaks to the specifics of our situation, in that no entity can restrict the delivery of imported water for groundwater replenishment.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. And then finally, just want to know AB 2215. I mean, I'm going to be 103 years old when that permit expires. So let's go for pure water. At least we can maybe see in my lifetime if AI doesn't. Anyway. Okay.
Any other questions? Tina, motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes. Let's move on to action item B, the San Gabriel River Water Master Annual Report. Steve Johnson?
Sure.
Oh, Tom first. Sorry.
Tom first?
No. I'm taking it easy today.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve seemed so excited to get on this presentation. I just don't want to stop him.
Oh, yes. Very excited. Well, thank you, Madam President of the Board. It's actually been expanded to a little more than just the annual report. The annual report, I can give you the results of the annual report at the end. But it's kind of a 101 of River Water Master. And I think many of you probably have heard this before, we only do this every year or two to go through how we got to where we are in the basin, in the water management in the basin. So we thought we'd just do kind of an overview of it. So it's the Long Beach Judgment, and it's called the Long Beach Judgment because the City of Long Beach was one of the plaintiffs. It says, as it shows right there. Just a quick overview on how we got to this end of the main basin. Way back when, this is clear back in the early 60s, probably even before the 60s, there were concerns with folks along the river, especially in the lower area, that the water supply on the San Gabriel River, both the surface flow and the subsurface flow of the river, that goes from the watershed up where we are up here, all the way down through the Narrows and into Central Basin, into the lower area. It was being depleted, and the concerns, which normally happens in any litigation, the folks downstream get upset at the people upstream because they're taking the water. And folks upstream are taking the water because they can, and there's really nothing stopping them. And that's kind of how it works. So the lower area filed a litigation against the upper area, which it talks about there where the plaintiffs are. And the defendants were San Gabriel Valley Water Company, because they were one of the biggest at the time, they still are. And a lot of other producers. Upper District stepped in as the defendant for the producers, representing the producers in the litigation. And WRD ultimately intervened later on to kind of take over for the plaintiffs, which included Long Beach, Compton, and Central Basin Municipal Water District, a few of the others down there. So the point of it was, at the time, was they needed to assure the lower area folks that they had a reliable water supply. And they looked, they sued the upper area to basically accommodate that. Once they got to a point where they could develop a solution for the river and assure through litigation that the lower area was going to get the amount of water that they were entitled to based on an adjudication, based on a judgment, then that created a situation for the upper area to have to develop a management plan to be able to manage their water supplies so that they could manage the amount of water that they use so they could assure that lower area was getting their water. So that resulted in the main basin adjudication. So this river water master, this Long Beach judgment, predates the water master adjudication by about 6 years. It took, from the entry of the Long Beach judgment, it took a period of time for the upper area folks to get together and basically sue themselves to establish what the water rights were and come up with a solution. So we won't go into that, but just to the point where the knowledge that the river water master litigation was really precipitated creating the main San Gabriel Basin water master, which now manages the water supply in the upper area. So anyway, this is some of the background on the judgment itself. Go to the next one. We included this in the slide primarily because it's an original drawing from the original adjudication. It's an engineering drawing. It shows the narrows. Right in the middle, you can see that's Whittier Narrows Dam. Above that is the upper area. Below it's the lower area. And it's really that's the narrowest part. That's where the San Gabriel Basin kind of narrows right there. Surface flow and subsurface flow narrows right there and spills into the lower area. And that's where they get the water. Once it gets in the lower area, it spreads out into that basin. Okay. Years ago, before upper area depleted a lot of the water, which they used the water, they had the water that they did. There used to be a lot of rising water down there. There was so much water coming down into the narrows, into the Whittier Narrows area, that in addition to surface water flow, when we would have rains and they would let water run down the river, even during dry periods, you'd have rising water. You'd have swampy areas down around El Monte and down around the narrows area. Over the years, that dried up, and now we really don't have that much anymore. We actually anticipate that if we ever do get pure water built and we manage the river and the upper area the way it was managed before with a reliable import of water supply and we have reasonably normal conditions, we could see rising water there again because we would like to operate the upper area main basin at higher levels than we have in the past. A lot safer, a lot more convenient. That can result in some rising water, which is fine because it's all accounted for in this Long Beach judgment. So it's all good. So anyway, I showed you a technical map. This is sort of a cross section of going through the upper area, the narrows, and then the lower area. There is and this isn't to scale at all. You don't have a mountain in there. You have it's over a wide area. It's a rise basically, so that the water that can get through the narrows is through exactly that, the narrows. It's shallower and narrower to allow the water to go through. So that's where you get some rising water. So that's just a profile of how the water goes from the upper area to the lower area. So it talks about the lower area parties, upper area parties, and who they are. In the upper area, upper district, intervened to become the defendant. Over the years, because Water Master ultimately kind of took over the management of the river water management, and Water Master collects fees through the assessments to the producers who were the defendants. Water Master took over payment for Upper District for the Water Master fees. So that just happened probably, I lose track of time. It could have been 15 years ago, it could have been 25 years ago, but it was a while ago when that happened. The River Water Master, it says up there, it created a technical River Water Master. You're familiar with the Main Basin Water Master. They are appointed to the board or elected to the board based upon water rights. And they saw the board. We have public members of the water district, the municipal water district, the responsible agents are on the board, and then just water agencies. And they do policy. They make decisions. They make a lot of decisions on that board. The River Water Master is totally different. The River Water Master is what we call a technical water master. It's made up of engineers, and what they do is basically enforce the provisions of the Long Beach judgment, which is an engineering solution to determine how much water on an annual basis, how much water lower area is entitled to from the San Gabriel River above Whittier Narrows. So that's what the River Water Master does. And right now, I'm the representative, upper district representative on that board for the upper area. I replaced Tom Stetson, who was the original member of the adjudication. Lower area is now Ted Johnson. He was a hydrogeologist for WRD. After WRD kind of took over management of the lower area groundwater basin, they got more involved in all of this. And so he got involved in the River Water Master work that was done. He retired. He actually moved to Washington. He replaced Dick Rohn, Richard Rohn, from GEI Consultants. He used to be Bookman Edmondson. Dick Rohn replaced Max Bookman, who was on the original Water Master with Tom Stetson. I actually worked with both Tom and Max when I first went to work. They're both gone now, and I've worked with Dick ever since. He just retired, and now it's Ted Johnson. Independent, the upper area and the lower area together nominate the independent, the third party. You create three members in case there's any kind of a question or a decision to be made. You can go 2-1 on a vote or something to make a decision. I can tell you that there's been a couple of issues that have come up, but they've been resolved. I don't think there's ever been an actual vote to determine a solution. It was always been worked out by the three technical guys, and you move on, and you resolve it, and you go forward. So it's worked out very well. Anyway, the third technical representative right now is Bob Grelli. He lives right in Covina. He's right near our office. He was the executive officer for the Regional Water Quality Control Board, downtown LA, for years. He retired from there. Then he became assistant executive officer for Orange County Sanitation Districts, and then retired from there. So he's fully retired now, but he's still represented on our board. He was picked because he's obviously an engineer. He's a very smart guy. He's a very fair guy. He's a very rational, above the board guy. And the River Water Master has been set up from the beginning to have people come to the table and do what's right and basically implement what's in the judgment and do the accounting based on what's in the engineering solution. So anyway, that's who's on the board, on the Water Master, River Water Master. So we've done this before, and this is good for this annual report too, because that's how it's done. I mentioned the engineering solution, and mentioned that the engineering solution basically is a way to determine on an annual basis what lower area's entitlement is based on some previous hydrology, on what's happened in the previous 10 years. So basically, the engineering solution is that the Water Master looks at the prior 10 years of rainfall. There's four rain gauging stations, spread across the watershed in the main basin. They've been replaced off and on different places, and we have to do an evaluation to replace one. We're allowed to do that because rain gauging stations sometimes disappear. Sometimes it's at a fire station or something, they move the fire station. Well, they take the rain gauge with them. So we've had to accommodate modifications to what our rain gauging stations are, and we go through a technical review and do that. But basically, we use four rain gauging stations to determine what the annual rainfall is in the upper area, and it's averaged, and then based upon a chart, it's accumulated for the prior 10 years. So the average of 10 years of rainfall using those gauging stations gives you a number. It's an average. One number is an average number. And then a chart was developed through the engineer to develop what the lower area entitlement was based upon that average prior year average of 10 years. And they did that based on a whole lot of number crunching based on historic flows in the river and historic rainfall and where the water was to make sure they got the right amount of water to the lower area based upon 10 years of hydrology. So the long-term annual average of rainfall from those gauging stations in the upper area, this is the watershed in the upper area, is 18.5 inches. That's the standard. And the annual entitlement based upon an annual, if it's an average year, is right at 100,000 acre feet. Lower areas entitled about 100,000, roughly 100,000 acre feet if we're under normal conditions. So those are the numbers. So for 20, what are you get going on now to water year 24, 25, we use water years. You can see there's 10 years of prior rainfall and the rainfall from the gauging station. So what you see on the right is the average of the four stations that go to them for each year. Okay, then we total those up and we average that. 10-year average, 16.9 for last year. That was the average for the prior 10 years. And if you go to the next slide, you see there's the table. And if you look on the left, you see rainfall 14, 15, 16, and you'll see tenths. There's tenths of inches on the top. So if you take 16 inches, go all the way over the right, 16.9 inches, you get 86,400 acre feet. So less than the 98 or 100,000 a long-term average, because it's less than the average rainfall. And so that's the amount that we are required to deliver to the lower area in the following year. Whether it's on the surface or underground, we have to deliver that, okay? So as we talk about delivering that water to the lower area, the judgment requires that the water delivered to the lower area be something called usable water, okay? And it's defined, okay? So a good example of water that's not usable would be during very, very heavy rainfall. Lower area below the Santa, below Whittier Narrows, they have offstream spreading grounds too. They divert water off the river and put them in those spreading grounds to percolate it. Just like we do up here with Santa. You got the same thing, same situation. Ours is better, but they can do it too. During very, very heavy rainfall periods, our spreading grounds and their spreading grounds get inundated. No place to put water. Water has to go down there, and our canyon storage fills up. The county needs to get rid of water. They go into a flood control mode, and they have to release water. All the conservation is filled. We got all the water we can take, and we still have water coming. It doesn't happen, but once or twice every 10 years, but it does. It certainly does happen. When that happens, the water goes down the river, and once it gets through Central Basin, past the last spreading grounds, it basically goes to the ocean, and it's lost. So that water is accounted for under the Long Beach judgment, but it's not accounted for as usable water. That's water lost. And it's not deducted from them, but it's not credited to us for delivering water to them. So that water is lost. I can tell you long term, okay, I mentioned that happens once or twice every 10 years. Long term, through the system of the county's conservation system, through the upper area that's managed up in our upper area, Santa Fe Spreaders, what we do up here, the canyon storage, through the Narrows and Central Basin and what they do for replenishment. I don't have the number exactly, but I'm gonna say that it's probably 85-90% of all of the water that falls on the watershed over there, 95% is conserved.
Based on this report.
That little of water is actually lost to the ocean. And it is if you hear about other areas and how they try to manage their water supply, it is really unprecedented what we accomplish here. Just right over the hill in the LA River system, they probably lose 70-80% of their water because most of their flood control channels and all of their storm drains are all lined when they put them in. So when they get rainfall, it just goes and it's just gone. And they try to create some diversions for some places, but there's no capacity. It's all built out. There's houses. They have no place to put the water. So it is truly amazing what they accomplished. And the county does a very good job. We've had a little bit of a rocky relationship with the county lately, as we all know. But over the years, it's been an amazingly good relationship of how we work together to get the water conserved. And we give them all of the accolades. We know enough not to bother them when they get into flood control situations. We don't call and ask how much are you conserving, what are you guys doing, because we know they're busy, because flood control is their primary role. But they do listen to us, we do talk to them, we do coordinate deliveries, and we're going to talk, well, I'm not going to talk about it here, but there's like the Protective Association and things like that that actually direct where the water goes between upper and lower area. And I'm not going to get too far diverted, but I can tell you that one of the concerns we've had over the years is there's no direct relationship between the Protective Association directing the water and accounting on the river and the River Water Master. There's no direct relationship, other than the River Water Master still has to do all the accounting. And that's all we do is accounting. There's no direction, there's no advice given. We just account for where it went. So we'll talk about it at another time, but that's part of the disconnect that there has been concerns in the past. So anyway, so usable water, it results in surface water flow that goes down the river and gets put into spreading grounds and gets conserved. Subsurface flow, we have a way to measure it. There's a formula for measuring the subsurface flow through the narrows. We have wells on both sides. We monitor the water elevation in those wells. We have wells in the lower side. We monitor that. If you look at it from the side, it creates a gradient. So you have higher water here, lower water here. We know what the cross section of the narrows is, so we know what the amount of water is, and with the gradient we can calculate what the flow is. And so we calculate the flow and we get credit for that. In addition to subsurface flow and the surface flow, there's recycled water that is accounted for, and imported water is accounted for. We don't get credit for imported water. We don't generally get credit for reclaimed water unless there is a provision in the judgment where if we don't deliver the amount of water we're supposed to on an annual basis, we do have a provision where we can actually pay for some recycled water that they can take and put in and replenish their basin before we have to buy imported water, which is obviously a lot more expensive. So that's in there too. There's also exports to lower area. Exports to lower area are companies like water agencies like San Gabriel Valley Water Company, Suburban Water System, Caldwell District Water Company. They have water systems that overlap between the upper area and lower area, actual pipes and systems where they move water. And when they pump water in our basin and deliver it to the lower area, and it's used down there, we get credit for a portion of that. We only get credit to up to about 30. We only get credit to 23,400 is all we get credit for. Actual exports under that provision are about 10,000 acre feet more than that. So about 10,000 acre feet that is moved through water systems to the lower area, we just don't get credit for. It's like donated to the lower area. So there, in the past, there has been efforts to try and reduce that amount, but there are provisions in our main basin judgment that actually allows them to do what they do. So there's only certain limitations we have to control what they do with the water. They're called transporting parties, and they can actually pump water here and transport it and use it down there. So that's how we come up with the usable water that's actually delivered. So I mentioned we do annual accounting. I mentioned 86,400 or what the number was. If we deliver more than that, we get a credit. Credit only goes on paper. If we deliver less than that, we get a debit. Or if a debit is accumulated debit and there's a real debit, in other words, we don't have credits to take it off of, then we have to deliver them water. We can buy some reclaimed water, or then we have to buy imported water. So that's how it's worked. Upper area annual debits applied. I mentioned the first lower can be reimbursed through recycled water, almost 15,000. And then we have to purchase imported water. So that's kind of what we talked about. There's an overall, and I don't want to get into the technical part of this because it does get a little bit, it gets into the calculation. There's an overall check that's done, and the engineers put this in the original judgment as kind of a step back and look at what's happened over time to make sure that over the long term, that the provisions of the average annual water supply of about 100,000 acre feet is getting to the lower area. And what that is called long-term accounting. And they actually, you guys probably heard me say this before, these guys were pretty darn smart. They actually sat down and said, you know, we ought to have a way to do a look back periodically. And a good way to do that is, and they came up with a method that said, anywhere between after the 18th, 19th year, between the 15th and 25th year of the operation, if the annual rainfall in the upper area averages between 18 and 19 inches, remember now, long-term average is 18 and a half, if it averages between 18 and 19 inches, it triggers an annual accounting. What an annual accounting does is take the period of time that we're looking at, say it happens in the 15th or 16th year, take those 16 years and total up all of the water entitlements they had, all of the water that they got, average all of the rainfall, and do an overall evaluation and make sure that it falls within the requirements of the Long Beach judgment. And we do that periodically. What's interesting is they picked between 18 and 19 inches because it's, you know, both sides of long-term annual rainfall. And in the first period of accounting, this was entered in 65, the 16th year triggered long-term accounting. In that first long-term accounting, the long-term accounting showed that we owed them like 170,000 acre feet. It was a shocker, but we had to pay it. We generated the money. Water Master developed a new assessment called the makeup water assessment, assessed the producers, collected the money. Lower area said they could not take the water even if we bought it for them, so they had no place to put it. So we developed a five-year repayment plan, and we delivered them water over 5 years and got that paid off. And so that was, we actually paid them money, and they were supposed to buy water. There's always stories in the water industry. Looking back on it, they didn't use the water like they were supposed to. They used the money like they were supposed to, but that's a side issue. But we did give them the money. We cleared that debt. The 18 to 19 inches that the engineers picked as long-term accounting, the next two 15-year cycles landed again right on the 15th year. So what the shows is what they picked doing the long-term accounting between 18 and 19 years at a 15-year cycle hit it right on the money. For three consecutive long-term accounting periods. Not at the 25th year, but at the 15th year. This last time we're looking at long-term accounting, due to the long-term drought we just experienced, we're probably not gonna hit it on the 15th year of this cycle. It's probably gonna be longer than that, because as you guys have seen, we've had very dry years, which resulted in, for doing the entitlement for the lower area, results in a low, very low entitlement to the lower area. And then we had some wet years, which we delivered a whole bunch of water, and that created huge credits. We've got a huge credit right now, which I'll show you in a minute. So anyway, that's what long-term accounting is. I already talked about it. You got ahead, that's good. You were ahead before, that's good. So this is for this year. 24-25, 10-year average, rainfall 16.9, we went through that. Lower area entitlement, 86,400. We delivered through calculations. I explained what usable water is. It's specific to what water they get and they can use down there as usable water. We actually accounted for and delivered about 69,500 acre feet, roughly, which included a debit. We actually had a debit. It was less than their entitlement this last year by almost 17,000 acre feet. The credit we had coming into the year was almost 470,000 acre feet, our credit. So we just deducted 17,000. Our current credit as of right now is almost 450,000 acre feet, a lot of water. So that's how it works, and this, that was the end of this year's time. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I hope I didn't go too fast.
No, that's great.
And Director Sack, just kind of put a bow on Steve's presentation. So this judgment is historically significant. It was probably the primary reason Upper District was established, because we knew there would be makeup water required. There wasn't any here locally. We needed access to imported water, and there were, at that point in time, there was only one place to get it, and it was from MWD in the Colorado River. State Water Project was being planned and maybe even started construction then. So it's historically significant. Also, it was the San Gabriel Water Association was instrumental in all of this. The discussions about the stipulated judgment and the formation, certainly formation of Upper Water, the Central Basin Water Association as well. So we acknowledge, and there's still, you know, there's the president right there of the Water Association.
Where?
But
Yeah. So, you're giving this.
So
it may be a little shorter.
And the other thing I want the director to be aware of is we pay for this. It's about $250,000 a year. We split that 50-50 with the lower area. Our share, the $125,000 that we pay, we bill it to Watermaster.
Yes.
Watermaster pays the bill. So right. It's not really coming out of our district's budget, but it's processed through because we're the plaintiffs. We intervened as the plaintiffs to this judgment. So I wanted board to be aware of those things. And it's not just Steve and Ted Johnson and Robert Grilli doing this. Jenny Savron. And others, a lot of other people. There's a lot of calculations.
Oh, honestly, they do it.
There's field well measurements. There's a lot of work.
There's a lot of knowledge there.
To getting the data necessary to do the accounting.
We basically check things and ask questions. That's what our job is, to make sure it's right that they do the work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Director Paul. Quite a master class. It's like a semester master class. One thing that interests me, you know, every time I campaign or talk to people, they say you're wasting too much water into the ocean. We conserve 97% of that water. But tell me something about, it's always LA, and the LA Times, when they write stories, they don't ever praise us for this. But how could LA conserve water instead of having to go down, they'd have to dredge up these...
They would have to probably dig up some concrete channels, probably dig those up to get percolation through the bottom, work on those. Even more importantly, get some off-stream diversions to get water into some areas where they can percolate water. The problem is it's so fully developed now. Mm-hmm. You'd have to take something out. And, you know, you need a lot of room. It wasn't planned, you know, for conservation. That's just...
They're trying to get some stuff done, but as Steve points out, it's all developed. There's no land. You need acres and acres of land. However, Vice President Harris did come out for a dedication of a spreading grounds facility in the San Fernando Valley a couple of years ago. Yeah. So they're trying to get... You know, I don't think it'll ever catch up to us because we did it before all the land got developed.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's usually there's small ones out there. They're trying. Pasadena's trying. There's other places that are trying.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
Any other questions? Go ahead. Thanks. So this Long Beach judgment has basically resulted in an accrued credit as of this year of 450,000 acre feet. Is that correct? Is there has there ever been any discussion about maybe some new lawsuit? Try to correct this, because I don't think that it's going to correct on its own.
No, not that I'm aware of. There have been discussions about reopening the Long Beach judgment and looking at it again. Whenever it's Dick Rome, who's retired now, he would complain about a little something was going on that he wasn't real happy with. And then we would come back and say, well, you know what, we're not real happy with this either. An example would be, we're not real happy with the fact that we have water agencies on our main basin who pump water here and serve customers down there, and we're limited on the amount of credit we get. Why should we get full credit? And he'd say, well, that's because it's in the judgment. So to change it, we have to open up the judgment. And he might say that he thinks the numbers are wrong and that maybe their entitlement should be higher or whatever. We say, well, that's in the judgment. You
right,
know?
Right.
So
right.
We stick with it. There are ways to do this. And we're going to talk about particular sustainability. But there are ways to do this. This is my opinion now. Because I haven't done this for a long time. Okay, this is my opinion on how this could be resolved. It's really not that complicated, and I don't look at it, because as a river water master, I don't just take the upper area's position. I take the big picture of the whole river system, and there needs to. That's what you have to do. The ways you could do it, you need to, and I've actually written up a protocol and priorities, you would need to identify need for water. Years ago, the lower area had a need for local water because they had a recycled water system. It was only tertiary water supply. It wasn't like pure water. It was only tertiary water. And in order to replenish that water in their basin, they had to have a blend of local water. Okay? Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. We need to make sure they get enough local water to fully use all of their recycled water, because you're getting a 2-for-1, right? You're getting the local water and you're getting the import. It's a 2-for-1. That should be done. Okay? That's not the case anymore. Okay? But that was the case, and in my priority system that I put together, I said that should be the first priority. They need to get the water, because they need the water. We get some of it as it goes down the river anyway, but they need to have that water to make sure they use all the recycled water. Otherwise, they're in violation of their permit, and they have to stop spreading. So that's probably a first priority. So a second priority ought to likely be, what is the credit? And if there's a big credit from the upper area, we ought to look at trying to, through Protective Associate, through our group, we ought to look at trying to keep as much water, local water, on an annual basis as we can in this upper area. Keep our spreading grounds full and only send water down there that we can't handle. And retain much as we can in the canyon. Keep the water in this basin. The objective look at that is, that's the way the judgment was kind of written to work, to be able to do that. And you can manipulate a little bit the numbers by forcing water to be up here. You still have to give them all the water they're entitled to. But remember, now you got a huge credit. They're still going to get their annual entitlement. If you put more water in this upper area, you're going to get higher groundwater levels, and you're going to get more subsurface flow. So they're still going to get the water to their basin, a lot of it subsurface, and there's going to be periods of time when they're still going to get surface water. And we still have to give them, under the judgment, they're still entitled to the amount of water. Now, if they don't get the water on an annual basis, then we get to deduct from our credit, right? But if we get it close, then at least we're not adding to the credit year after year. So there's a management technique that you can do for that. There's other things you can do too. Even if they are still requiring that they get a certain amount of the local water, we can put more production down near the Whittier Narrows, more wells down there, pump those wells, and move the water up into our basin, which will reduce subsurface flow to them and give us more water in our basin. So it'll change the dynamics down there. There's things that can be done, but they require quite a bit of work. But it could be done. Opening up, the general consensus is, over the years of doing all this stuff for a long time, you generally don't want to open up a judgment.
Never.
Because, I mean, these things took 3 years to do it. If you open it up, everybody's going to want to change something, and it could be a mess.
That's why you never open the Med Act.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with this extremely strong, big credit.
I'm an optimist. I've been doing this a long time, and we haven't solved it. But I'm still an optimist. I'm an optimist that good minds will prevail. And I was hoping, I mean, Ted Johnson, the new guy for Lower Area, was not an advocate when he was at WRD for doing the right thing. He was an advocate of getting all the water he could to Lower Area. He wasn't a river water. He was represented for WRD. He wanted the local water, so he wanted more water down there. So he fought for that. I was hoping, he hasn't even been on a year yet, and I'm still hoping, that once he sees what we do and how we do it, and he sees what the accounting is, that he'll realize that it makes some sense to do what I'm suggesting. I'm hoping. But he has not been the kind of individual he's not a great listener to alternative ways to do things. So we'll see. I have other ideas too. I have another idea. Lower Area, through Dick Roan, has always wanted to have a storage agreement, store water in our basin, and then pump it through a pipeline out of our basin down into their area, down in the Lower Area. I said, you know, we now have that ability. We have storage and export agreement. We can do that. So one of the things I've written up, but I haven't really daylighted with River Water Master or the Lower Area people is, you know, you want to have a storage agreement. how about we have a storage agreement where we let you put water in this basin and let you take it out, but for every bit of water you put in, you know, you leave 10 or 20% and only take 80%, and we get to keep the water. And that way we start filling our basin up, or we use river water, local water, to help fill that. And then we develop a mathematical way to account for the fact that we're getting this water up here and we're sending some down there. For example, if we put 10 acre feet up here that normally we would be sent down there, we'll only take five acre feet off of our credit, and they won't get it. We'll do the accounting by keeping the water up here, but give them something in the deal to be able to work it out. But ways to do it, but you gotta get people at the table that are cooperative, that want to solve it. Your point is well taken. 450,000 acre feet this year out of the basin, this year out of San Gabriel Basin, we're probably only going to pump 165,000 acre feet. That's 450,000 credit. Mm-hmm. That's like over three years.
Right. Right.
Years of credit.
Right.
That's a lot.
Thanks.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Steve. All right. So let's move on to item 9, information items. There are some press releases and news articles in our packet. Some really good articles. So read them if you have time. 10, let's move to attorney's report. Martin?
Thank you, Madam President, board members. Steve, thank you for doing a quick overview because I have a really long report.
Okay, good.
Full report. No. We basically our efforts were directed towards revisions of the policies, as well as working with staff on some administrative items throughout the month. So that was basically the gist of it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any questions? All right, thank you. Let's move on to item 11, engineer's report. Steve?
Sure. Really short here. as we talked about in the past, a lot of the stuff we've been working on has been pretty much completed. It's in their hands of the agencies. The IRP, they're reviewing that in-house right now. Urban Water Management Plan, Stan is working on that. He's expecting a draft in mid-April, I think, is the timing on that. There's the Golden Muscle Plan. I think Tom can talk about that. We'll probably talk about that in the general manager report. But that's what we're working on right now for the upper district, upper water, sorry.
And President Garcia, Kelly's not here. She's not well. So Steve was going to do the water master report. Your discretion now or when it comes up on the agenda?
I'll go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, it's really short. Because there's not that much going on. Key well elevation, we're in good shape. Although I have a concern, I've got feelers out because as I came up the river, down below, down around Lower Azusa Road in that area, bank to bank in the river, flowing down the river. It's bank to bank going down the river below Santa Fe. Got up to Santa Fe, all the spreading grounds are dry right now. So I've asked Jenny, she's asking the county what's going on, what they're doing, what's happening. And she said there's a lot of water. There was, I think the release out of Morris is almost 500 CFS. Mm-hmm. And that down the river, it's up around 800 or 900 CFS from releasing water out of the Santa Fe. So I want to find out what's going on. All that aside, key well elevation is up over 265 feet. That's pretty amazing. Recalling now, historic low was 179, so we're almost 100 feet above that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good shape. Not much else going on other than the golden muscle issues. There's not much else going on. Production is low. We had wet October, November, December. It's been really dry since. Rainfall, we're about average for this time of the year. We were way ahead for a while. We were 150% ahead, but since it's been pretty much dry January, February, March, it's now leveled off. So for this time of year, we're about average, so is downtown LA. And there's some projection of some rainfall possibly next week, but maybe not a lot.
Three days.
We'll see how much we get. But I think that's about it other than the golden muscle.
Any questions? All right, thank you, Steve. Move on to general manager's report. Tom?
So a lot of activity at Metropolitan. I'll save that for Tony on their budget, but they will have that on their agenda for consideration of adoption on April 14th, about 3 weeks from now. For our meetings, I'd like to cancel our water resources meeting. It was originally scheduled for, I believe, Monday, April 6th. Instead, move the government affairs meeting to that day, if that's okay with the committee members. So on Monday the 6th will be Gov Affairs. And then move the admin and finance committee to April 14th. That's correct, Judy? April 14th, and that will be a budget workshop for the upper water budget. And we'll also continue the discussion on some of the policies at that time.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Yes. Can you repeat that last one?
Yeah, April 14th.
That's
a Wednesday.
The admin and finance?
Admin and finance on, no, it's a Tuesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah. Tuesday, April 14th, admin and finance, 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
And lastly, as much as we love Judy, we will have a new manager of finance coming on board on April 1st, the 1st of April. It is Albert Trin. He currently is working at the City of Baldwin Park. He previously worked for the City of Pasadena, where he got experience with their water utilities. And you're going to love him, Director Garcia. His bachelor's degree is in pure mathematics.
Yay.
Yeah, so we can nerd out together. And currently, Director Santana, he lives in your position. He lives in Baldwin Park. So really looking forward. Very impressive at the interview. So looking forward to him coming on board and transitioning, perfect time, right in the middle of the budget process. So very excited to see him come on board. That's all I have today.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Any questions? All right, let's move on to Metropolitan Report. Director Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Today I want to give you an update on three issues. I guess I can say one is the MWD budget, the second is the Colorado River Negotiations and Quantifications Agreement, and third is the MWD Naming Committee and Policy, which I chair at Met. The past several months, the Metropolitan Water District has held about four budget workshops. We usually try to get our work done in the morning at 8:30 to 11:30 or 12:30, and then from 3:30 to 6 or more, the budget workshops begin. And the final workshop took place yesterday, where board members, we've gone through this 600-page budget, started to shape a motion that will be presented April 14th at the April 14th meeting of the board. And I want to just talk a little bit about this. What I plan to do is, before we adjourned last night, I asked that these three scenarios that came forward from board members be given to us, each of the directors, so that we can discuss it with our general managers. So Tom and I are going to sit and talk about the projects and how we should get the money for those projects. It's an arduous budget in some sense, an arduous job to do this. And I want to talk a little bit about the Pure Water Sites Reservoir Delta Conveyance and the Colorado River as part of this budget. And we are very aware that not all of these are going to go online at the same time, and we realize that we have a very limited budget. Yesterday, as I mentioned, we began shaping the budget that will likely increase the ad valorem tax and bring about water rate increases, though we don't want to increase it. We want to keep increases to a minimum. In addition, we're cognizant of the fact that 40% of the employees are going to be retiring from Met. And on top of that, MWD's major job is to keep the water running. I think our new director, Gretchen Shepherd Romney, who represents San Marino, the mayor of San Marino, a lawyer, is doing a great job. And I really complimented her at one of the meetings, and she said it again yesterday that, the main job of Met is getting water distributed. If we don't have, it's a system of pipes and valves, and if this system doesn't work, we don't have Met. And so what she's talking about is that the infrastructure has to be considered because it's getting old, and she's brought that up many times, and I think she's very correct. Yesterday we were faced with two columns of expenditures, those we must get done and those that are on a wish list, and these are these are projects that also should be done. The major list, the first column, is about $875 to $900 million in expenditures. Pure Water is on the second column. This project has about $150 million in funding, two of which are covered by state and federal grants, and these grants require MWD to come forward with matching grants. It appears, though, in the final budget that Tom and I will be discussing, that the Met will approve a contract for design of the project. Will go forward, and then in 2029, when this the design is completed, Met will be get serious and decide if they want to go into construction or not to go into construction. It was brought up that Pure Water may be hampering progress on the Colorado River. We heard yesterday. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, and probably it shouldn't have been discussed by the Colorado River negotiations that are going on, because a number of states have come forward, like Southern Nevada, saying they will be partners in by water, and that's all the other six member states had to hear. They said, well, if you're going to get water from pure water, why should we be giving California Colorado River water? And so some people think that probably should have been kept quiet for a while. And we'll talk about the Colorado River. It's very difficult right now. We talked about conservation in this budget, and many directors believe that we should halt a lot of conservation programs because we have so much water, we don't know where to store it right now. It's a big problem, and we got to sell water. But we can't go around saying don't conserve. Delta conveyance. It bothers a lot of people, especially the chair, who worked a lot of us went to Sacramento to help the governor, and it seems like all of these plans now are going to be trashed, like Governor Brown's plans were trashed, and some of the directors and the chair believe that we're just throwing money down a drain hole. It's just it's millions and millions, and that maybe we should just forget about the Delta. As far as employee hirings go, it was first presented that we need 105 new employees. The two for Pure Water will not be hired right now. We don't need them right now. But we've pared it down to 79 positions almost, all in operations, because the system has to be maintained. That's why we have Met. And the other question now, where Tom and I have to talk, is how are we going to pay for all this? Is it going to be ad valorem, an increase, pausing the LRP programs, or increasing water rates? To conclude, as I've just mentioned to you, I've asked that the scenarios be sent to the directors as soon as possible so that we can talk to our general managers. And I think later we'll come up to the board and discuss what went on. Let's turn to the Colorado River. We had an update yesterday. Most of it was closed session. Great presentation by Shanti Rossetti. It's a mess. It is the point now that maybe California should kiss the aqueduct goodbye. That's how bad it is. The fighting going on, and it's probably going to end up in court. And we were talking a little bit about why the president hasn't stepped in yet, but he has a war to, so that's going to take some time. So the Colorado River is just upsetting right now. It's not in good shape. Finally, the naming committee, which I chair, the chair called me on Saturday morning, which he does sometimes, and was so distraught. And I said, okay, to Don, what's the matter? And he says, Cesar Chavez.
Oh boy.
He said, I work for him. And I know Dolores Huerta. And Tony, let's talk about your committee. And so what we're going to do, we have a list of people to name things after, former chairs and what have you. And it's very controversial because some of the board doesn't believe we should be naming the building. Like, it's been brought that we should name the building after a GM. And many directors feel that building should never be named. Others want to name the rotunda after somebody, and they don't think that should be changed. So it's very controversial. But the problem, Don was right. He said, Tony, let's hold off until the 100th anniversary of Met. And he said, right now you work on policy. We're going to put together new policies for this. But he says we have to vet people. And Linda Ackerman, who's my vice chair, brought this up months ago, that we have to start vetting people, even dead people that we want to name things after. And anybody who has had sexual abuse problems, it's got to be, this all has to be come out in public, and Met does not want anything to do with these sorts of things and naming people after it. So we're going to put that on hold till the 100th anniversary, and see what happens there. It also was brought up, I heard, getting ready to leave, and I heard that, you know, Cesar Chavez Day is
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The 31st.
So you're canceling it at Met. I mean at Upper District, I heard. And it was that we're the whisper.
So
whisper was when I left, was leaving. I heard him say, "This will not be called Cesar Chavez Day Tuesday. Whatever you do, or cancel it." And so that's a very. Sorry for it, Don, but what can we do? But hopefully we'll be voting on this on the 14th. And after much discussions, it was a very it's an intelligent discussion yesterday of what should be done. And it will get done because it has to be done. It's an arduous process.
Yeah. Thank you, Director Fellow. Moving on to Water Quality Authority report, Director Schatz.
Yes. Thank you, Madam President. So the report is there in our packet. I just wanted to highlight a couple of items. We approved the draft plan, the 406 plan, which is our groundwater management and remediation plan that we do annually. And then we renewed our membership with the San Gabriel Valley Economic Partnership. And then something special happened, but before I report that, how many years was Evelyn working for us here?
17 or 19.
Okay. So at the WQA, Mary Sines, who was our director of finance, after 20 years, retired. Mm-hmm. So she's served the authority for many, many years and done a fantastic job. And they even had a going away party for her. So we're going to miss her, but just like what we're doing here, mm-hmm. we're seeking a well-qualified candidate for that position as well. So that's the report.
All right, thank you, Director Chavez. We already heard our Water Master report. So moving on to AB1234 compliance, that report is in our packet. Would any director like to add to the report? Thank you. So let's move on to 17 director's comments. Director Santana.
I have none.
Thank you. Director Chavez?
Try your reports. No report.
Thank you, Dr. Chavez. Director Fellow?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm going to miss Judy Lancaster. I've asked her to do some things for me that needed to be done, and she's always there within seconds. And I'm happy she's married to Mr. Lancaster back there. And people don't know. When I was a journalist, I knew his father very well. I was with his father a lot when he was an assemblyman, and his mother, great people. And so you married into a very wonderful family. I want to talk a little bit about Aqua, right? Or no, our trip.
Oh, yeah.
It was an Aqua trip. It was Upper District. And for me, the most fun thing was going with you to the U.S. Forest Service.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first time I'd been in that building. And we talked to the deputy director about our reforestation project. And Katerina talked about Upper District and what we do. And then I think we asked for another volunteer to help us with our reforestation project. And you know, the next day, were you with me? And the next day.
Probably.
Because the director, his boss came to speak at Aqua.
Oh, yeah.
For breakfast. Mm-hmm. And that was a treat, too. And I think you left, because after you left, I got up and I said, I told him that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what a nice. We were welcomed very nicely, and he said, "Did you get what you wanted?" I said, "Well, we wanted another volunteer forest ranger for our project." He said, "Did you get it?" I said, "No." He was very happy about it. I also want to say thank you to Yesenia and Alexis and Kat. I had a DVL trip with legislative staff last week with Three Valleys. We went to Diamond Valley Lake. And that was very nice, and I appreciate all the help you gave me. What was kind of cute there is there's a plaque there with the names of people who have built Diamond Valley, and my name's on there, and they announced, while I was there, and there was a lot of kids and stuff, they announced that the sole person still unmet who built this lake, and all these little kids had to run up to me. And that was, it was very nice to be there.
That's
and it was very nice to see Diamond Valley. What if, when you think about it, what a feat that was to get built. It was, it's horrible
courage.
To get built. But it's just wonderful and it's working. Okay. And now, I might as well say this right now. Under future agenda items, what I would like to do is that I was at AQUA last week because we're looking for an executive director, and some of you know the names of the top two people that are going to be interviewed. We meet the 30th, and then we'll select two. We have five candidates, I think, and we'll come down to two. And by the 14th, I think we'll select who will be the new executive director. But at AQUA, we were talking about issues to have conferences on, and water rights came up. And so immediately I'm sitting, I thought, I look at the San Gabriel Valley, and I said, it's adjudicated. Everybody seems to be no problems. But so I immediately said, Kelly, I wrote to Kelly, I said, Kelly, is there a problem? And she says, yes, there's big problems. And so I want to learn more about that. And I want to learn more about subsidence, especially in the Delta. So I want to maybe Tom, in a future meeting, talk about subsidence. Maybe you and Kelly talk about the controversy and challenges to water rights today. It seems to be a big thing. And we're going to see legislation in Sacramento, I think, dealing with this. And that's it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. And I just wanted to add that I'm excited for our art competition coming up, our deadline's coming up, and I can't wait. So that's my, I had all of my little baby sixth graders, all the sixth graders at my school, actually, I convinced all of them to at least try to do something, and we got, I think, about 20 kids to submit, and I'm so excited, because we have open house tomorrow, so I'm going to talk to them about, because all the art's on the walls. So it's kind of fun because I already told their kids about Waterfest, and so it's really fun to see, like, I don't know, like, people don't know about water, and this is, like, how to engage them and get them interested talking about it at home, like, wondering why are we doing this. So I'm excited to see that, and I promised I wouldn't, you know, fulfill the votes in. No, I'm just kidding. so that's exciting. And, you know, I know, I'm glad that you mentioned this earlier, but I was going to say how talking to people about the LA water capture versus San Gabriel Valley, I think a lot of folks, because, like you said, Director Fellow, the LA Times is so heavy LA, they automatically, like, lump us into there. And I was just having this conversation with a bunch of people, because explaining what we do here at Upper Water, I feel like I have the speech already. Well, we do, you know, we get water where it needs to be and all that kind of stuff. But it's really good. I appreciate that presentation today, because it's good to always keep that fresh in our minds, because those are conversations I have pretty regularly, and comparing what is publicized, because LA is so much bigger and well-known compared to what we have in San Gabriel Valley. And I am curious, but you can always send me some articles to read later. I was really curious about historically, like, how has the, like, geology and everything changed, right, in our region? Because I was remembering in college I had a project to do from one of my geology classes, and we had to find, like, all these topographic maps and all these maps about the rocks and everything and figure out all the geology of our area. And while you were talking, I had that little bubble, that memory. So I don't know if you've got anything in there, but I am curious. I don't know if anybody else is, but I would love to read more about kind of the geology and, like, the historic groundwater, how the river moves, because I find it so fascinating. And again, those are things people ask. They want to know historically is what changed, what's the difference between now and then, because I think when folks think about water, they think of, like, you know, like, rapids and rivers, and groundwater is like a big pool underneath the ground. And so, anyway, I appreciated that today.
Can I mention, you guys, say something for a minute? You mentioned history. And I was thinking of you, Steve. You know, May 5th, Monrovia starts big celebrations on the anniversary of Route 66, which comes right over here, right in front of our building.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a booth at a recreation park. But I'm looking, I'm supposed to write something on the history of water and...
Route 66. Do you know anything?
We're going to give you a list of book recommendations for us later.
If anybody knows anything, please see me. I'd like to sit down and talk to you.
There's a lot of books that need to be written about this, I think. But anyway, thank you. Moving on, future agenda items other than what Director Pello suggested? No? Thank you. And then, closed session. Is there any closed session?
No, closed session.
Thank you. Awesome. So, are there any other business matters? Okay, seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.